Good morning, everybody. Is it working? You can hear? Okay. I'm Kathy Sackenfeld. I think many of you already know me, but we want to welcome everybody to the first in this series. As you can see, this is called Ways to Pray, and you've probably seen in the announcements that different people will be leading for the next 5 weeks on prayers from the Old Testament in relation to their personal and our own prayer life. And today, we're lucky to have our friend and pastor, Len Scales, to lead off the series. And Len, as you know probably, is a pastor here in charge of mission and outreach and something else. Oh, okay, yes. Now she's the staff. She's become the staff person for adult education, so she gets to lead off the series. And we're so glad she's here. And let's join together in prayer before we get started. Let's pray. Holy God, we trust in confidence that you are always more ready to hear us than we are to remember to pray. Guide us this morning as Len leads us to think about how and why we pray in relation to an Old Testament text. Hear us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and thank you for being here, especially it's good to see you all, but also so many of you are investing in this Ways to Pray series in different ways, because it's one of our LinkedIn series that NASL's been doing the last 5 years or so, where the fall is focused on the Old Testament and the spring is focused on the New Testament, and we hear about it in this space in adult ed. We are divided up and opt in to small groups. Several of you are leaders of those or have been in the past or help write the guidebook, and also in worship. So as we go to worship at 11 o'clock, the preaching text will come from the same passage that have been chosen by each of our leaders on Sunday mornings in adult ed. And so this morning, we're going to look at Daniel 6, 10 through 15. But before we dive into that text, I just want us to start thinking at the beginning of this Ways to Pray series about what prayer means to you. How did you learn about prayer? So I just want you to take a few minutes and think about the question, who taught you to pray, or who modeled prayer for you, whether that was when you were a little kid or in adulthood, but is there someone who's helped you think about prayer or modeled prayer for you? And just take a couple minutes and turn to your neighbor and share, please. Hi, Jim. We're just answering the question right now of who taught us to pray or modeled prayer for us, okay, whether as a child or into adulthood. And we'll use these later. Hi. We're just talking for a couple minutes about who taught us to pray. So whether as a child or in adulthood, somebody that modeled prayer for you. Okay, thank you. And I'll hand this to you. Okay. You'll use it later. And I'll get you some too, Nate. Hello. Good to see you both. We're going to use these later.
Yes, ma'am.
It's good training.
we're working on it. You know? John, did you get sticky notes?
No, thanks.
Okay, I'll take it. There we go.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, man.
I'm going to invite you to just pause your conversation for a moment. And I hope that this is just a pause and that as we go throughout this series, you find many opportunities to continue the conversations about ways you've learned to pray, whether that has been a model that you've wanted to follow or one that you found challenging and you are pushing against and maybe talking back to a little bit. So I hope that this is just the start of those conversations. As I was walking around the room handing out sticky notes, I overheard just a few bits of, well, I learned to pray in church school or around the dinner table for my parents. And I'm wondering if there are other ways you learn to pray as a child or in adulthood that you want to lift up. And if you just say it briefly, I'll repeat it back so that it's on the recording. Yes. The Lord's Prayer altogether, especially in church services.
I learned to pray the rosary.
Praying the rosary. Yeah.
I was thinking of two things actually. In like high school, middle school, in a church youth group we went to see Godspell, and actually that was kind of a cool, you know, that really resonated and Lamont has taught me a lot.
Yeah. Well, so Godspell and Wendy already knows where we're going later. I can tell from the help, thanks, and well. But we'll get there in a minute after we start talking about Daniel. Are there other places or people that help teach you to pray?
My brother was a great prayer. He always did a beautiful, long prayer. He was an attorney, so
family members who offered their skills to the prayer life together. Well, wonderful. Well, I hope that we continue to share ways we've learned to pray and people who have inspired us. As we come into our first passage for this series, we're going to look at the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. Now, these are the first few verses. Is it big enough that anybody could volunteer to read for us? Hold on, Steve. Let me get you the mic.
Stand.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room, open toward Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees three times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously. Then those men watched and found Daniel praying and seeking mercy before his God. Then they approached the king and said concerning the interdict, O king, did you not sign an interdict? That anyone who prays to any god or human within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions. The king answered, The thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked.
Thanks, Steve. And is there another reader? We hand it to John.
Back here. Yep. Then they responded to the king, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the interdict you have signed, but he is saying his prayers three times a day. When the king heard the charge, He was very much distressed. He was determined to save Daniel, and until the sun went down, he made every effort to rescue him. Then the conspirators came to the king and said to him, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed."
Thank you so much, John. Now, we're just dropping into this text in Daniel, and I'm wondering if anybody can remind us of a little bit about the fuller story. So we can read from the context clues that people have been told, you know, you can not pray to your own God, you need to just pray to the king, and it's been a setup for Daniel. But then what happens after Daniel gets caught? Does anybody remember?
Well, Daniel was considered very wise, and the king greatly admired Daniel, and particularly since Daniel had interpreted several dreams that the king had. But the king was here between the rock and the hard place, and he knew that he was going to have to throw Daniel into the lion's den. So Daniel was bound up and thrown into the lion's den, but lo and behold, the Lord sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions, and they did not gnaw on Daniel.
That's a great summary. So we see here that Daniel has continued his rhythm of prayer, of praying three times a day in his upper room with windows open out to the community, where he kneels down and prays. Now, Carol Newsom, in her commentary on Daniel, points out that Gandhi even looked at this passage as an example of nonviolent resistance. And in Sial's commentary, he notices that Daniel could have changed his posture of prayer. He could have prayed standing up, or he could have prayed sitting down. He could have changed when he prayed. He could have changed where he prayed. But he continued steadfast in this very specific rhythm of prayer that wasn't something that was required of him, but was something that he had found as his own spiritual practice that was meaningful. And in so doing, was resisting this law that had been placed to set him up. Now, in small groups, for those of you that are participating, or if you want to take a small group guide with you, there's some right behind this wall today. I'm going to talk about different rhythms of prayer. So whether that's hours of prayer, if you pray morning, noon, and evening, someone like Daniel, or if there are other rhythms that you've experienced in prayer you might want to try out. And in this story, we see Daniel praying three times a day. And I wanted just to talk about three kinds of prayer this morning that it made me think of. So a little bit different than the passage, but it reminded me of Anne Lamott's book, Help, Thanks, Wow. Three different kinds of prayers. Because I know sometimes in my own prayer life, it has been really meaningful and life-giving to have set times of prayer. And sometimes that's been harder to continue. And it's been a gift to hear, you know, that's okay. That's okay. Prayer can change. How you pray can change. And one way that has continued to be helpful when maybe I just don't know what to pray or how to pray has been this suggestion by Anne Lamott. Prayers of help, where do we need God's intervention? Prayers of thanks, where are we grateful? And prayers of wow, where do we stand in awe? So if I'm having a hard time with how to pray, help, thanks, wow is usually bubbles some things up that I can bring to God in prayer. And I'm hoping we can try that out a little bit this morning. So this is where the sticky notes come in. Does everybody have sticky notes? If not, we have plenty to share. So I want you to take a few minutes to think about prayers of help, to think about prayers of thanks, and to think about prayers of wow. So where are you in awe? And write those on the blue sticky note. And this could be huge things going on that are positive or negative, but just like, wow, this is a lot to think about. Prayers of thanks are the yellow/green. What prayers of gratitude do you have? And then the prayers of help on the pink sticky notes. Where do you want to ask for God's intervention or know that you need to kind of hand something over to God? So does everybody have a writing utensil as well? If not, we have extra. Okay, so we're just going to take a few minutes and work on that. And I'm going to play a little bit of background music, I hope, is the intention. I didn't test it, so we'll see.
Or more.
Whichever, however you want to take it.
Thoughts about this type of prayer?
Oh, I think more of like, what are your prayers of help, thanks, and wow.
Okay.
Does that sound good? Yeah. I'm going to invite everybody attention back together and wondering what people's experiences were like with thinking about prayers of help, thanks, and wow. So how did this maybe reinforce a way of prayer for you or make you think about prayer a little differently? Who would like to share? And we have a microphone too.
But I'll just start.
Yeah, great.
Well, I found the structure helpful because, and I also found that in some ways the help one is the one that's at the top of what I want to appeal to God for, because, and particularly the Middle East, because we have so little that we can do. But I, you know, I did think that it was, well, we talked in this small group about how thanks, we were more focused on people and family and, wow, the beauty of the earth.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, Virginia.
You're welcome.
I appreciated, Len, the prompt for wow, that it could be both positive and negative. I think oftentimes I just kind of go straight to thanks and help. And wow, what I was sharing with our group is wow is an opportunity to present all my feelings to God about things, you know, things that I'm joyful about or things that maybe are really burdensome. And so I really appreciated that prompt to say, like, you, this can be a full expression of yourself and your feelings to God and giving them to God as a gift.
Yeah, even kind of a acknowledgement of overwhelm that happens sometimes in life.
A I would take the projected thing there and turn it around from right to left. First wow, then thanks, and then help. First wow, then thanks, then help. And that was what we talked about here.
Can you say a little bit about why you would turn it around?
Well, I think one has to recognize who you're asking for help and who you're thanking, you know, in your life. Otherwise, you've lost, I think, the whole basis for prayer and this series, if you want to know the truth.
Thank you. Other experiences when
now
you think.
It disappeared totally.
I know. I no. Other reactions to help, thanks, and wow.
I found it helpful because it forced me to focus on specific things rather than kind of a rambling, you know, rant or just simply for help. It was, excuse me, it contains sort of all the elements that you want to include.
Sorry, I was late. I wasn't part of your discussion, but to me, it seems that I agree with the lady. You start from the wow, the majesty of God, bring it into your mind, into your heart. Then you give thanks about all the good things you have and so on. And then you ask intercession for others and for yourself. And to me, that's the logical sequence of the prayer.
And part of what I hear you all both saying when starting with wow, it's starting with a acknowledgement of who God is and who we are in relation to God and being in awe of God's greatness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And Carol.
The one thing that's missing, though, is confession. Unless you somehow work that into wow, which I suspect that's not where we would go, it doesn't follow the traditional prayer pattern.
Yeah, yeah. There are more prayers to be prayed. Mm-hmm. And I think Lolly.
Not to be contrary, but I disagree with the wow, thanks order. I like help first. That seems more urgent, more top. Don't bury the lead. And then you thank you, thanks. And then wow is the way you end it. It's like a beautiful ending to your experience.
Thanks, Lolly. Well, as we conclude our time for this day with help, thanks, and wow, what I want to invite you to do, if you are comfortable, is to part of our prayer to be spent looking at each other's prayers. So you're invited to get up and walk around and in prayer, lift up the prayers that you read on the help, thanks, and wow, and just move about the room a little bit. And then I will close that time with a prayer before we conclude. So take a few minutes of lifting up your own help, thanks, and wow, and others, people as well. let's continue in a spirit of prayer with a closing prayer all together. Let's pray. Dear God, we come before you with different experiences of prayer, practicing different postures of prayer, praying at different times of the day, being more or less comfortable of praying alone or aloud or with a community. And we know that you welcome all the prayers in any way they reach you. And Lord, we stand in awe of who you are in the world you've created and the world that you have asked us to steward well and to care for. We give you thanks for our church family and for experiences of prayer that help open our minds and drop our shoulders and help us take a deep breath. Lord, thank you for being present in this space with us and as we go. And we also ask for help in all the small things and big things. The things of the world, we pray for Israel and Palestine and for the deep pain and deep need that exists. We pray for our neighbors near and far. We pray for our families, and we even dare to pray for ourselves. Lord, we know you hear all these prayers. And so we lift them up to you also, all together with the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. It's not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So thank you so much for chatting it up with one another, for being willing to get up and move around a little bit, and just to think about prayer, both ways we can pray today and praise ways people prayed in the Old Testament like Daniel. And the things we can learn from Daniel and the things we can learn from one another. Next week, Amir Samir will be here. He is a pastor visiting from Egypt while his wife is a PhD student at the seminary. So please come back to be with him in this space next week. Same time, same place. Are there any other announcements? Get a small group guide if you don't have one already. There's some out here. Anything else? Adult ed team? Thank you so much, Carol. Oh, I was planning to really plug that, and I... thank you. Yes. I forgot to put, list it, and thank you so much. Okay, so one way to pray is also through song. And in spoken prayers too, but a place that does that so well is the Tizay community in France. And Nassau has had a group from the youth ministry go a couple times in the last 5 years, and also Princeton Presbyterians, the campus ministry has had a group go a couple times in the last 5 years. And we've gotten to build a relationship with one of the North American brothers, Brother Emil, and he is actually traveling to the States this month and is going to spend a little bit of time with us here on Tuesday. So we hope you can come Tuesday night, 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. There will be a service of prayer. And Tizay is a place of welcome and hospitality. So please extend that to other people in the congregation and friends. And also as you come to that service, extend that welcome to Brother Emil. So thank you so much, Carol. 7 p.m. Yep, on Tuesday in the sanctuary.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah. Please enjoy coffee.